Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I want to tell you a story. I've had a number of listeners ask me to share something about my own personal life, and I can't do that without talking about my friend Rick White. He went home to be with the Lord on September 16th, 2019. I'm very thankful for Rick and his friendship. I miss him. After high school, we would only visit maybe two or three times a year, but I miss him. For me, he was someone I could talk to about anything. And even though we didn't see each other often, when we did see each other, you would think we spoke every day. Rick had a way of focusing on people. When he was with you, he was with you at the exclusion of everything else. When you were in front of Rick, he was not distracted by his cell phone, and he never made you feel rushed. I miss him. For his wife, Julie, and his daughters, Jordan and Whitney, I hope this is just one more story about your dad that makes you smile. I met Rick when I was 8 years old, so I have no trouble imagining the fun Rick had playing with his nieces and his nephew. Grandfather Rick makes me smile, but it also makes me aware of the time that I missed with him because much of our lives I was too busy. To his mom, Sally, brother Butch, and sister Teddy, I should have shared my story with you and with Rick while he was still alive. That is, after all, the main reason I'm sharing this story with all of you now on the radio. In the classic direct style of Rick White, I want to encourage you to tell people now. Tell them right now how important they are to you. Don't wait till they die. We're going to come back to this point in a little bit later in my story, but let me tell you the story now about my relationship with Rick White. In 1965, I met Rick in our second grade class at the brand new Hoover Aspen School right next to Hoover. Aspen is now John Baker Elementary, and Hoover Middle School is still going strong. Our second grade teacher was a really pretty blonde lady. Her name was Mrs. Doyle. Every boy in the class crushed on Mrs. Doyle. She was very pretty, as I mentioned, and the coolest thing was she drove a blue 1963 split window Corvette. Now that car was only a year and a half old when she had it, and I mean, it was absolutely the coolest car I'd ever seen. Mrs. Doyle loved Rick. Rick was not a tall boy, but he was athletic, smart, and he had the energy of a nuclear reactor. Rick was not afraid of anything. Mrs. Doyle liked him because he would always come in from recess scuffed up in some way because he played really hard. I was the opposite of Rick in height and athletic ability. I was tall, slow, and scared. About the only thing I could do athletically was throw a football and shoot a basketball. In second grade, I was as tall as most of the fifth graders. And that's really where my trouble started. I remember being afraid of the older kids giving me a hard time. Rick could keep up with the older kids athletically, but not me. Early in September of our second grade year, we were playing football against the fourth graders. When I could get the ball to Rick, we had a chance to win because he was fast and he didn't worry about getting tackled in the rocky dirt. Two fourth graders didn't like the fact that these two second graders were giving them a good game, so they decided they would start pushing me around. From across the dirt field, my friend Rick saw these boys pushing me around, and he sprinted like a laser beam and tackled one of them. He got up quickly, like the future wrestler he would become, and he screamed, "Stay away from my friend." In that second, the smallest and youngest guy on that field put fear into the hearts of those older kids, and they never bothered me again. The rest of that second grade year was filled with birthday parties, playing sports, and having sleepovers at the White House. That's where I got to know Mom Sally, Dad Walt, Brother Butch, and baby sister Teddy. Rick helped me to toughen up a bit, but more than anything, he risked himself by sticking up for me as his friend. After second grade, Chelwood Park Elementary School was built, and the Albuquerque Public Schools moved me over to Chelwood. I did not see Rick or the White family again until September of 1972, when we came together once again as freshmen at El Dorado High School. Rick had not changed much, except that he was even more aggressive in sports. He loved baseball and wrestling. I loved basketball, but once again, I was scared. I remember being cut from the freshman basketball team in El Dorado. I was brokenhearted. When I got cut, Rick took me down to the football field at El Dorado in 30-degree temperatures, and he threw the football with me until it got dark. That was a good two and a half hours. The very next day, a miracle happened, and the freshman coach asked me to join the team because one of the kids that had made it found out he was moving to Aztec, New Mexico. Rick was always there for me as a friend, and he was still my example of courage. Rick was tough like I wanted to be, but fear held me by the throat in freshman football and basketball. I was one of the meat squad quarterbacks on the football team. That meant I had to run plays and practice against the first team defense. I don't want to understate this, but I got hit hard. I want to thank Mike Waits, Larry Mask, Ernie Cano, and Ron Nakioka, just to name a few of the guys that delivered some hits on me that I will never forget. Guys, I'm smiling. You guys were great athletes, but man, those hits hurt. I played in only one game as a freshman basketball player that year because we were ahead by 30 with 30 seconds left in the game. That was against Kennedy Junior High. That pretty much summarizes my freshman year of fear at El Dorado High School. As I look back now as we entered summer break after our freshman year, I can see now that Rick was one of the leaders in our school. Our high school class, which was the class of 1976, reflected his aggressiveness and determination. But as a group, we were very unusual. We were united. The stomps, the freaks, and the jocks all hung out together. Now, sometimes we were doing things we shouldn't have been doing, but that's another topic for another day. I don't remember thinking about skin color or the way people looked or how much money they had. We even had friends in the band. My sisters will appreciate that. Over the summer after our freshman year in 1973, things started to change for me with the encouragement of my friends Rick White and Tim Briggs. We also got a new C-team basketball coach, Coach Ron Winters. With the work of these guys in my life, God changed me. I started not to be afraid. When we played summer league basketball games at Trumbull Park, Rick was always there cheering. Tim was drawing the defense to himself and passing the ball to me wide open, and we were winning games. Rick was part of the wrestling team, and El Dorado was one of the top teams in the state. In 1975, during our junior year in high school, I was receiving recruiting letters from a couple of universities to play basketball. My head was getting bigger and bigger, so being an arrogant person, I started teasing Rick and the other wrestlers, telling them that basketball was a much more difficult sport than wrestling. First of all, remember this, never make fun of wrestlers unless you have a death wish. Rick said, okay, big mouth, let's get on the mat and see what you got. He started me in the down position on all fours, and he grabbed my left arm above the elbow and dug his chin into my back between my shoulder blades. I was 6'5", 145 pounds. Rick was 5'5", 5'6", 125 pounds. Then somebody said, go. For those of you who don't know anything about wrestling, the person in the down position is trying to escape the grasp of your opponent who starts in the top position. You score points when you escape or you reverse the hold of your opponent so you control him. Well, in less than a second, Rick broke me down, slammed my face into the mat, and then put me in a hold that I don't even understand as of today. But he didn't pin me. No, he didn't pin me because that would have been too easy. He just kept me in a position so I couldn't get up. In less than 2 minutes, my face smashed into the mat with my arms tied behind my back. I was so exhausted I could barely stand when he finally let me go. One more humbling, toughen-up lesson from Rick White to Jim Williams. I look back now once again that I was terrified of going into my first practice as a college basketball player after high school. I was 6'7", 165 pounds. Well, playing on the Lobos, we had a lot of guys that were a lot bigger, and they were cat quick with the ability to jump out of the gym. Even though I was scared, I thought about the toughness and tenacity of my friend Rick White. After college, Rick went into banking. His dad, Walt, was a home builder. 4 or 5 years after we had finished college, Rick was well into his career, and I had left coaching. Well, Rick once again set me up with his dad, and he allowed me to start financing homes that his dad was building. And so for many years, I had a great relationship with Walt until he, too, passed early. In recent years, Rick and I would meet maybe twice a year for lunch. We would always pick up where we would leave off. But more and more, he wanted to talk to me about God. He knew that I had come to faith in Jesus at the end of my senior year in high school. Rick told me every time that we spoke that he was so thankful for his family. The last time we talked in the summer, last July, he asked me what I thought the most important thing was about being a Christian. In response, I asked him if he had asked the question of other Christians. He said yes. Some say that studying the Bible was the most important thing. Some told him that obeying God's word was the most important thing. Others reported having faith in Jesus as our Savior is the most important thing. I said, Rick, all of those things are important, but the essential thing is the fact that he has extended forgiveness to us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Our relationship with God starts with the realization that Jesus died for all of us. Forgiveness is a free gift right in front of us. All we have to do is pick it up and say, thank you, God, for forgiving me. I appreciate you listening to this story today. I hope it motivates you to thank the people God has worked through to speak into your life. If you would like to share your story with us, please post it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ABQConnect. Remember this, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, John 15:13. Thanks for joining us today.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.